Toxic metals comprise a group of minerals that have no known function in the body and in fact are harmful. Today, mankind is exposed to the highest level of these metals in recorded history, thanks to their industrial use and the burning of coal, petroleum, and the incineration of waste material. They affect everyone and are a major cause of illness, aging, and genetic defects. The study of toxic metals is part of nutrition and toxicology, areas not emphasized in medical schools. For these reasons, these important causes of illness are accorded little attention in conventional mainstream medicine. This two-tape series focuses on the extent of the problem, including the sources, the symptoms, and how we go about removing toxic metals from the body. Before discussing the toxic metals in detail, it's important to know that minerals are classified into really four groups. There are the macro minerals, those needed in large quantity in the body, including calcium, magnesium, sodium, potassium, phosphorus, sulfur, iron, copper, and zinc. Then there are the required trace minerals. These are manganese, chromium, selenium, boron, bromine, silicon, iodine, vanadium, lithium, molybdenum, cobalt, germanium, and a few others. Then there are minerals that are possibly required, which may also include toxic minerals like fluorine, arsenic, rubidium, tin, niobium, strontium, gold, silver, and nickel. The toxic metals include beryllium, mercury, lead, cadmium, aluminum, antimony, bismuth, barium, uranium, and others. Arsenic and fluoride are generally considered, and nickel, toxic metals as well. Although some people claim that fluoride has a role in the body, I would dispute that, and many people would question that idea. Okay, now these categories can overlap because assessing toxic metals is not easy. Some may be needed in tiny amounts, and to try to prove it by depriving people of vital minerals would be cruel and possibly disastrous. Also note that some of the physiological or vital minerals, like iron and copper and manganese, they become toxic if you have too much. Selenium, vanadium, you know, these things can become toxic if you take too much. Okay. Now, today there are extremely high levels in the environment of lead, mercury, arsenic, aluminum, copper, tin, antimony, bromine, bismuth, and vanadium. And these levels are up to 1,000 times higher than in primitive man. In my experience, everybody has excessive amounts of some or all of the toxic metals. They're a particularly sticky problem because they are cumulative and they are persistent. That means they don't go away. Dr. Henry Schroeder, a world expert on toxic metals and trace elements, wrote, "Most organic substances are degradable by natural processes. However, no metal is degradable. They are here to stay for a very long time." Now, what do these metals do? Well, they replace the nutrient minerals in enzyme binding sites. That's one of the things they do. When they do this, in other words, the enzyme binding sites are like little keyholes that are supposed to have the right mineral in it, which is like the key to make it work. Well, these things replace it when the nutrient minerals are not present or deficient in the diet. But when this happens, it can inhibit the enzyme or overstimulate it or otherwise alter its activity. And it does have a physiological role because sometimes when you become deficient in zinc, for example, the body will absorb cadmium. So, and it will work to some degree. Cadmium is directly under zinc in the periodic table of the elements. So is mercury. And so the toxic metal will replace the good one sort of like a key that almost works, and it will allow the enzyme to work to some degree. However, it works at maybe 5 or 10%, and eventually you get enough in there, and everything starts to break down. Now, toxic metals can also replace other minerals and other substances in places like the arteries and the joints and the bones and the muscles. And wherever they are, they weaken the tissues. They may also simply deposit themselves in many sites where they cause local irritation and other toxic effects. Often toxic metals are associated with the development of infection, fungal infection, bacterial, viral infections that are very difficult to eradicate until you get rid of the toxic metals. So that's basically what toxic metals do. They replace things and they get in the way. Now, there is a very important concept called preferred minerals. And it's the idea that for every binding site, for every tissue and organ, the body has a preferred mineral. So, for example, the body prefers zinc for many enzymes. However, if zinc is deficient and the food is very low in the soil, then cadmium, lead, or mercury, if they're around, they will be used in place of zinc. They are what we call less preferred, but they will be used. And the nutritional balancing process is one of replacing the less preferred minerals with the more preferred minerals. Okay, so the less preferred will sort of fit in the enzymes and other places, but it's not the preferred mineral. Now, what this means, of course, is that toxic metals are not entirely bad. Indeed, they can extend life. They can keep you going when vital minerals are deficient. And a quick analogy is to imagine an automobile journey and the fan belt breaks in the car when you're away from a service station. You could take off your belt and wrap it around, and you could, you know, use it that way, and you could continue your trip, although you'd have to drive very slowly probably. And it would not work that well. It might slip or whatever. And the reality is that most people are limping along on these replacement parts. You can call them replacement parts. They are deficient and they are toxic. They don't realize their fatigue and their symptoms are due to the presence of these incorrect replacement parts in their bodies. Depending on where the toxic metals are, you give it names: hypothyroidism, diabetes, cancer, and all the rest. But actually, what it boils down to, although it's not the only cause of disease, in many cases, it is the basic cause of illness, is the deficiency of the vital minerals and their replacement with toxic metals. Now, today we have another complication with toxic metals, and that is the modern diets. These aggravate toxic metal problems because they are low in mineral content. The soil is low in minerals, the food is low in minerals, then the food is refined and the minerals are removed, like white bread, white flour, white rice, white sugar. These all have their minerals removed. And the result is that the bodies are more deficient and then they absorb more toxic metals and the problem is much worse. The toxic metals and the vital nutrients compete for absorption and utilization. So when the body is low in vital minerals, the toxic ones build up. There are a number of reasons for this. I'll just run through all of them because it's so important to know this. First of all, hybrid crops are bred for production, you know, for high production or disease resistance, but they're not bred for nutrition. And a lot of your crops today are hybrids. Wheat, corn, all these things are hybrids. They produce as much as 10 times as much food on an acre. But that doesn't mean that the soil has 10 times as many minerals. So the food is low in minerals. And the soils become depleted because they're not putting the minerals back on the soil. Instead, they use superphosphate fertilizers, which are stimulants, basically. They're growth stimulants, but they do not replace the trace minerals. Also, they grow the same crop over and over on the same soil, and that can deplete the soil. Also, the toxic sprays, the pesticides, damage the soil microorganisms. And these are needed to help the plants absorb minerals from the soil. So this also worsens the mineral content. And finally, food processing, which is huge today, and the use of chemical foods that don't even have any nutrition, means that people are getting much less minerals. Just for example, whole wheat flour, when it's milled to make it white flour, it loses 40% of its chromium, 86% of its manganese, 89% of its cobalt, 78% of its zinc, and 48% of its molybdenum. When they take cane or sugar beets and make it into sugar, same thing. Also, there are many food processing techniques that destroy or damage the minerals in the food. They add EDTA to frozen vegetables to make so it keeps their color. However, this chelating agent removes minerals that would otherwise cause the surface minerals to tarnish or discolor. According to Dr. Weston Price, the author of Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, a classic book in nutrition, primitive man ate 5 to 11 times the amount of essential minerals in his diet as modern man. The term empty calories is the correct term to use for so much of today's foods. That means they are mineral deficient foods. Okay? So the food supply today and the diets today and the eating habits is another factor. When people eat on the run, they just don't get the good out of their food because they don't digest it. You cannot digest when you're in your car going at 50 miles an hour, you know, stopping at the fast food places. That won't work. And yet so many people live the fast-paced lifestyle, and then they wonder why they're malnourished and they get toxic metals. Okay. Now let's talk about sources and detection of toxic metals. We'll go through some general concepts. Food, of course, is a big source. Food grown near highways or near industrial plants often contains lead and other toxic metals. Even organic gardens at home can be contaminated if the soil contains lead leached from paint. Lead is considered the most widely distributed toxic metal, although mercury, arsenic, cadmium, and aluminum are just as widespread. Pesticides used on fruits, vegetables, and many foods can contain arsenic, lead, copper, mercury, and other toxic metals. Mercury is used as a fungicide along with copper. Fish is a real problem today. Fish used to be a good product, but now almost all fish are contaminated. Basically, all fish are contaminated with toxic metals. The larger the fish, as you go up the food chain, the worse the problem. Shellfish and bottom feeders often contain cadmium, mercury. They're found off the coasts. Large fish concentrate mercury up to 1 million times or more. And the government just warned pregnant and lactating women they should stay away from tuna. I tell everybody to stay away from tuna, along with shark, king mackerel, and some of the other big fish. A lot of your food has toxic metals added. Table salt and tap water, they add aluminum, for example. Sea salt is a much better product. Aluminum cans, baked in aluminum cans, or food cooked in aluminum, these can contain high aluminum, although the aluminum cans are usually coated. Cookware from other nations may contain leaded glaze that can come off in the food, even in glasses. Other food sources include hydrogenated oils found in commercial peanut butter, margarine, including soy margarine shortening, can contain nickel and cadmium, which are used as catalysts. So food is a big source of this thing. Tap water and food are probably the main sources of toxic metals. Okay, water, let's discuss this. This is probably the most important source for most people. It is a big one. Aluminum is added to water as a flocculating agent. It keeps the dirt from getting in the water. It makes the dirt settle out of the water. Copper is added to kill algae and fungus in reservoirs. Chlorine compounds are very toxic, added to disinfect the water. Fluoride, added supposedly to fix your teeth, but it doesn't. The studies don't support it, but it's added to many municipal water supplies, very toxic. And the chemical they use to add the fluoride is not just fluoride. It's a waste product with all sorts of toxic metals and radiation, benzene, kerosene, other chemicals in it. Okay? Wells can contain all sorts of toxic metals, and they can be from the pipes, too, leading out. Plastic pipes, some of them contain cadmium, lead-soldered pipes, copper pipes. So water is a big area. These are less of a problem in the hard water area where the water is high in calcium. But if it's a soft water area, the water can pick up metals from the pipes as it flows through. Okay. Fluoride is a particularly dangerous problem. It's added to drinking water. It's found its way into the groundwater. It's found its way into the food chain. In processed food, processed with fluoridated water can be very high, like baby foods and reconstituted fruit juices. People are getting so much fluoride already just from their food that there's no need to take more fluoride. This is ridiculous. We say it's ridiculous. And it's just irresponsible. Anyway, that's important. And as we mentioned, hydrofluosilicic acid, the chemical used to fluoridate drinking water, is a smokestack waste that also contains lead, mercury, cadmium, arsenic, aluminum, benzene, and radioactive waste. Note that carbon block filters do not remove most toxic metals. Only distillation and reverse osmosis will remove most toxic metals. This is very important. So don't think that if you just get a carbon filter or a carbon block filter, you're going to remove toxic metals. Maybe a little, but not very much. We recommend spring water, good spring water. That is probably the best because it is screened by the government and it has good minerals in it, but not the bad ones. Distilled, you don't get any, but then you become mineral deficient over time. Reverse osmosis, they take them out, but reverse osmosis damages the water a little more. So distilled is better, and the spring water would be best. Now, another big source of toxic metals is the air. And most can be absorbed by inhalation. Auto exhaust is a big one in cities. Aircraft exhaust, industrial smoke, products from incinerators are big, big sources of airborne pollution. Aircraft fuel is a big one. Burning coal can release mercury, lead, and cadmium. Iranian and Venezuelan oil are very high in vanadium. Some are very high in toxic sulfur compounds. Lead, of course, was added to gasoline for years. Now, the residues are all over the pavement, on the buildings, cropland, everywhere. Today, manganese is added to the gasoline. Uranium is another big airborne pollutant, and it's from nuclear tests, accidental nuclear releases. Another source of airborne pollution is incineration. And these days, you never know what's being burned. Electronic parts, plastics, fabrics, batteries, even old diapers can release toxic metals. Scrubbers and new methods of high temperature incineration are better, much better. And then another source of airborne pollution and toxic metals is cigarette smoking and marijuana smoke. These things are high in cadmium, which is found in the cigarette paper. Also, the pesticides that are used on these crops are quite toxic. Lead, arsenic, and other metals. So air is another big source of your toxic metals. Another source of toxic metals are prescription and over-the-counter medications. This is one that many people don't think of, but in fact, quite a few commonly prescribed medications contain toxic metals. Matter of fact, most of them do. For example, Cipro is an antibiotic, which is a fluoride-containing substance. Prozac is called fluoxetine. This is another fluoride-containing medication. And several of the other antidepressants are. Thimerosal is a preservative used in vaccines that contains mercury, including all the flu shots contain this stuff. And independent evaluation of a large study that's part of the Center for Disease Control Vaccine Safety Study concluded that children are 27 times more likely to develop autism after exposure to three thimerosal-containing vaccines, that means mercury-containing vaccines, than those who receive the mercury-free version. So the toxic metals in flu shots and vaccines is significant. A big class of diuretics, which are blood pressure medicines usually, called thiazide diuretics, contain mercury. Names like Maxide, Diazide, many others. Antacids like Riopan, Gaviscon, Malox, Mylanta are very high in aluminum, quite a lot of aluminum. Antibiotics are often affect metals and so forth. So many of your over-the-counter substances contain toxic metals. Contact lens solution still contains mercury. Okay. Now another source of toxic metals is direct skin contact. And this is another very important one for some people. For example, all of your antiperspirants and many cosmetics contain aluminum. Aluminum is used in the antiperspirants and as a base for cosmetics. Many people know that the dental amalgams contain mercury, copper, and sometimes other metals. Dental bridges and other appliances often contain nickel. Prostheses and pins that are used to hold bones together may contain nickel and other non-precious metals, you know, toxic metals. Many women use copper intrauterine devices. And if left in place for years, as they often are, they release a tremendous amount of copper into the body. Soaps, body lotions, creams, even these can contain toxic compounds. A few of the hair dyes contain lead. These include youth hair and one called Grecian formula. Selsun blue shampoo contains selenium, which is quite toxic if you take enough of it. Use it often. Another way people get direct skin contact with toxic metals is through household lawn and garden chemicals. These often contain lead, arsenic, and other compounds. Seeds are often treated with mercury for antifungal growth. And wood can be treated with arsenic. This is not uncommon. All your building materials, your base, the 2x4s used on the bases of houses, they're treated with arsenic. And people handle these things. So direct skin contact, especially in certain industries, or if you work out in the garden with sprays and chemicals, or building, are another source. Now, sometimes occupational exposure to toxic metals is a huge factor. This is important for certain people, like plumbers who might work with lead, electricians, auto mechanics, printers. A lot of inks contain cadmium. Iron workers, office workers who are around a lot of machines, you know, the office machines sometimes may use the toners and other products. And workers need to protect themselves. Wear gloves, masks, at least be very careful. And when you get your hands dirty, wash your hands immediately. Do not let the stuff stay on your hands if you're handling ink, metals, various metals, aluminum, tubing, whatever. Don't let it stay on your hands. Finally, a very important source of toxic metals, very important one, we have it last here, but it's not the least by any means, least important, is what we call congenital toxic metals. That is exposure at birth. And that comes from your mother. That comes from the placenta. It goes through the placenta. And we would say with good confidence that every child today is born with some toxic metals that are acquired in utero. They're acquired during pregnancy. All of the toxic metals pass through the placenta from mother to child, all of them. This is seen clearly when we review mineral analyses of infants and when we compare it to the mineral analyses of mothers, you often find the same metals. And we review infants, we review the charts of infants who are 2 months old, 3 months old. They've never touched food in their life, and yet they're full of toxic metals. How can this be? Well, that's because they are what are called congenital, present at birth. They are passed through the placenta, and this is a very important source of toxic metals. Now, very briefly, I will go through the sources of toxic metals by metal, by the name of the metal, okay? This will give you a better idea where we get, say, aluminum. We'll start with aluminum. Aluminum is found in cookware. It's found in tap water, table salt, baking powders, antacids, processed cheese, antiperspirants, bleached flour, antacids, vaccines, medications, and occupational exposure. Arsenic, used in pesticides, beer, table salt, tap water, paints and pigments, cosmetics, glass and mirror manufacture, fungicides, insecticides, treated wood, and contaminated food. Beryllium comes from air pollution, burning of fossil fuels, plastics manufacture, electronics, steel alloys, and volcanic ash. Cadmium comes from cigarettes, both tobacco and marijuana. Processed and refined foods where they remove the zinc. There's nothing to buffer the cadmium. Large fish, shellfish, tap water, auto exhaust, plated containers that are cadmium plated, galvanized pipes, and air pollution from incineration and occupational exposure. Copper, big problem today, comes from copper water pipes, copper added to tap water, pesticides, swimming and swimming pools where they add copper, copper intrauterine devices, vegetarian diets are high in copper, dental amalgams contain copper, some nutritional supplements are high in copper, especially prenatal vitamins, birth control pills. Can raise copper, even though they're not high in copper. And then things like weak adrenal glands and occupational exposure can also increase copper levels. Lead, found in tap water, cigarette smoke, hair dyes, paints, inks, glazes on plates, pesticide residues, and occupational exposure in the manufacture of batteries and in other industries. Mercury. The biggest one is dental amalgams. And the second one is large fish, especially tuna, shellfish, medications, air pollution, manufacture of paper, chlorine, associated with it, adhesives, fabric softeners, waxes, and things like that. Manufacture of these things. And finally, nickel is found in hardened vegetable oils, hydrogenated oils. That includes margarine, commercial peanut butter, and vegetable shortening. Also found in shellfish, air pollution, cigarette smoke, plating, and occupational exposure. Now let us move on and talk about detecting these toxic metals. Toxic metals are not easy to detect because they are lodged deep within the body, deep within the tissues. There is no single test that will help detect or will allow you to detect all the toxic metals. Blood tests are helpful at times, but for most of the time they are not helpful because toxic metals are removed from the blood rather quickly. They're removed from the blood rather quickly, so blood tests will only tend to detect recent exposure. They're removed from the blood rapidly. They're deposited in storage organs and tissues where they would do less damage. There are many other tests. You can do stool tests, urine tests, and others. Hair testing is one of the best. The United States EPA reviewed over 400 studies of the use of hair analysis for metal detection and concluded that hair is a meaningful and representative tissue for biological monitoring for antimony, arsenic, cadmium, chromium, copper, lead, mercury, nickel, vanadium, and perhaps for selenium and tin. So hair analysis is used, but hair analysis also will only detect that which is in the hair. And some of the metals do not settle in the hair. We will see them as they come out, but they will not necessarily be in the hair. Interpreting the hair analysis is very important, and we'll speak about that on the other side of this tape, because we're getting to the end of this side of the tape. So why don't you stop your tape recorder or fast forward to the end, and we will continue on the other side of this tape. So hair analysis is very useful in a limited way, because there's no single test that can do it. But the skilled interpretation is very important, because, for example, we find that whenever aluminum is elevated in the hair, iron and manganese toxicity are always present. So, and often some hidden chromium too. So sometimes the interpretation is important. There are a lot of indicators on a hair test for hidden copper toxicity. These include a high calcium level, a very low potassium level, a low sodium-potassium ratio, low ratio of sodium to potassium, less than around 2. And also mercury and copper are often found together. When one is present, the other is present, but it's hidden. So the interpretation of a hair analysis is important. In a study of Massachusetts school children, a Dr. R. Tuthill wrote, "Scalp hair should be considered a useful clinical and epidemiological approach for the measurement of chronic low-level lead exposure in children." That is, he was able to identify lead quite well. So mineral testing is used because the body does store toxic metals in the hair, but not always. Now, another method of testing for metals is called a challenge test. And what you do is you take a shot or an oral chelating agent like EDTA or DMPS are the most popular, and then one collects a urine sample and over 24 hours, and it will reveal some of the metals that are in the arteries, the veins, the kidneys, but it will miss a lot of them. And so one should not assume that a urine test for toxic metals, a challenge test. A regular plain urine test is going to be very poor, but even a challenge test is not that good. Some people also do stool tests for toxic metals, but again, they're not very good. There is no test that can detect all the toxic metals. They are sequestered in hard-to-reach places, such as the bones, or poorly perfused fatty tissues. As a clinician, I assume that everybody has toxic metals and that any sound nutrition program or health program must be designed to remove them. So that's the story on detection of toxic metals. There are other methods, radionics, electrical machines of various kinds. Again, they depend on the skill of the operator, and in my experience, they're not going to detect all the toxic metals. They will detect some. Okay. Now, the next topic is symptoms associated with toxic metals. Let's begin generally and say that toxic metals can contribute to any imaginable symptom. Any imaginable symptom. For example, if lead replaces calcium in the bones, it can contribute to weakened bones, fractures, osteoporosis. Cadmium replaces zinc in the arteries, and it will cause inflammation and hardening of the arteries. If iron replaces zinc and other minerals in the pancreas, adrenals, and elsewhere, it can contribute to impaired blood sugar tolerance and diabetes. Copper replaces zinc in the brain and is associated with migraine headaches, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, and much more. Copper is also associated with premenstrual tension. Mercury and copper replace selenium, and that can impair the thyroid and many other things. All of the toxic metals are neurotoxic. All of them produce learning problems, IQ problems, behavior problems, and so forth. Many neurological diseases are associated with toxic metals. Now, beyond just the causing of disease, toxic metals are very involved with aging. The slow or not so slow replacement of vital minerals with toxic metals is an important and neglected cause of aging. And basically what happens is enzyme systems become deactivated or impaired. And that ends up causing a loss of organ and tissue integrity. And the process feeds on itself. That is, as you become more toxic, your digestion worsens, your energy production goes down, and then you're more prone to the effects of toxic metals, and you're less able to eliminate them, and you're more prone to absorbing more. Toxic metals are also associated with genetics and what we might call gene expression. People forget, and especially the media, that genetic diseases are not just caused by birth defects, by inherited genetic errors. They're also caused by faulty gene expression. In other words, the gene may be okay, but it may not turn on at the right time. There is a technical word for this, and it's called a polymorphism. Polymorphism. So even though one's DNA is perfect, the synthesis of proteins from that DNA can be faulty. For example, zinc is required for a key enzyme gene expression, which is RNA transferase. Zinc deficiency is associated with many conditions, such as neural tube defects, which are considered birth defects. But it's important to notice that the zinc deficiency can be the problem, not a inherited genetic or DNA problem. And to quote an article from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, they say, quote, an alternative form of a gene present in greater than 1% of the population is called a polymorphism. And they mention that these are caused by vitamin deficiencies and by mineral deficiencies. Okay, so symptoms are really quite varied. I will go through right now some of the basic symptoms for each of the toxic metals. But it's important to realize that most of the time, people are suffering from all the toxic metals, or many, and you can't really separate it out. Doctors always try. They say, oh yeah, it's your mercury. And yes, getting rid of the mercury helps, but it's not usually just one. So for example, aluminum is associated with Alzheimer's, with dementia, anemia, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, blood disorders, colic, fatigue, tooth decay, kidney and liver problems, neuromuscular disorders, osteomalacia, and Parkinson's disease. Arsenic can cause abdominal pain, anorexia, dermatitis, diarrhea, edema, fever, fluid loss, goiter, hair loss, headache, herpes, impaired healing. It can interfere with the uptake of folic acid and inhibit the sulfhydryl enzyme systems. Associated with jaundice, keratosis, kidney and liver damage, muscle spasms, pallor, peripheral neuropathy, peripheral neuritis, sore throat, stomatitis, stupor, vasodilation, vertigo, vitiligo, and weakness. Beryllium, associated with adrenal insufficiency, arthritis, bone spurs, bursitis, depression, fatigue, osteoporosis, and symptoms of slow metabolism. Cadmium, very involved with hypertension, kidney problems leading to hypertension, also arthritis, diabetes, anemia, arteriosclerosis, impaired bone healing, cancer, big one, although all of them are associated with cancer, cardiovascular disease, cirrhosis of the liver, reduced fertility, hyperlipidemia, hypoglycemia. Hyperlipidemia means high cholesterol and other blood fats. Headaches, osteoporosis, kidney problems, schizophrenia, and strokes. Copper, associated with many common problems such as acne, adrenal hyperactivity and insufficiency. Agoraphobia, which is the fear of going outside and being with people. Allergies, hair loss. Anemia, anxiety, arthritis, autism. Cancer, high copper. Chronic yeast infections, candida albicans infections, depression, elevated cholesterol, cystic fibrosis, depression, diabetes, dyslexia, elevated estrogens, failure to thrive, fatigue, fears, fractures of the bones, headaches, heart attacks, hyperactivity, hypertension. Copper also affects the thyroid, can cause hypothyroidism, or even some hyperthyroid. Infections, inflammation, insomnia, iron storage diseases, and kidney and liver problems. Copper also can affect the libido, associated with multiple sclerosis, with nervousness, osteoporosis, panic attacks, premenstrual syndrome, schizophrenia, strokes, tooth decay, vitamin C, and other vitamin deficiencies. Copper is an important one. Lead is associated with over 100 conditions. Some of the most important ones are abdominal pain, adrenal insufficiency, anemia, arthritis, arteriosclerosis, attention deficit, back problems, blindness, cancer, constipation, convulsions, deafness, and depression. Other ones are diabetes, dyslexia, epilepsy, fatigue, gout, impaired glycogen storage, hallucinations, hyperactivity, impotence, infertility, inflammation, kidney dysfunction, learning disabilities, diminished sex drive, migraine headaches, multiple sclerosis, psychosis, thyroid imbalances, and tooth decay. Mercury is a very common one that almost everybody has today. And it, too, is associated with many, many common symptoms. Adrenal gland dysfunction, hair loss, loss of appetite, ataxia, which is loss of balance and certain movements, bipolar disorder, birth defects, blushing, depression, dermatitis, discouragement, dizziness, fatigue, headaches, hearing loss, hyperactivity, immune system dysfunction. Also associated with lack of sleep or inability to sleep, kidney damage, loss of self-control, memory loss, mood swings, nervousness, numbness, and tingling, pain in the limbs, rashes. All of them can cause rashes at times. Excessive salivation, schizophrenia, thyroid problems, timidity, tremors, loss of vision, peripheral vision, particularly in muscle weakness. And then nickel is associated with cancer, depression, heart attacks, hemorrhage, kidney dysfunction, low blood pressure, malaise, muscle tremors and paralysis, nausea, skin problems, tetany, and vomiting. So these are partial lists, but they're the main ones. They're the main symptoms that we associate with each of the toxic metals, realizing that most people have a little bit of all these things. And so they're going to have certain combinations of symptoms many times. Very well. Now we've discussed some of the problem with toxic metals. Let's move on and talk about solutions to the toxic metal problem. And there are solutions. This is not an intractable or insolvable problem, even though the amount of toxic metals in the environment is, if anything, getting worse. And certainly one of the best solutions is to avoid exposure as much as you can. Living in cities, it's very difficult to avoid exposure. But you can do your best by breathing clean air, clean water, eating well, and so forth. So let's go through the toxic metal solutions. First of all, you don't want to go into fear about toxic metals, because our bodies have quite a bit of evolutionary experience with these things. These have been around for millions of years. It's not like it's brand new. You cannot completely avoid toxic metals, but you can minimize your exposure with careful eating and a healthful lifestyle. Your body has mechanisms to get rid of toxic metals. These mechanisms can be supported and enhanced by nutritional and other therapies. And the following program that I'm going to describe, when followed faithfully, will lead to the safe removal of toxic metals. Okay, number one, you want to eat a varied and excellent quality diet of mineralized foods for many reasons. The body, first of all, will absorb and utilize fewer toxic metals if it receives more of what are called the preferred minerals, that is, the good minerals. In a 1994 study in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition, they tested food that was labeled organic, selected randomly from Chicago food stores. It had an average of twice the mineral content of standard supermarket food. So the message is that organic food is much better, and it is higher in minerals. The famed people of Hunza, who lived to about 120, they drank glacial runoff, which was so mineral-rich that the water was cloudy. So eating a mineral-rich diet, which means vegetables, especially cooked vegetables, believe it or not, raw vegetables are not as good a source. Cooking concentrates the minerals. It also breaks down the fiber so that the minerals are more available. And also, the other problem with raw food is that they can often be contaminated with bacteria and viruses and you don't know it. So cooking actually kills that stuff. So mineral-rich foods. Now, in addition to just eating good vegetables, you can also add sea salt. It's a good source. Table salt is a terrible source of minerals. Sea salt is good. Kelp, and actually any of the other sea vegetables, but kelp is the best because kelp contains something that binds the toxic metals so you don't get it, because all the sea vegetables have some toxic metals. Small fish are very good for minerals, and the root vegetables are very good, except potatoes and yams, not quite as good, but the root vegetables, and you must cook the root vegetables, probably 45 minutes, in order to get the minerals out of the food. And, you know, at the same time, you want to stay away from all the mineral-deficient food. And the mineral-deficient food is all the white flour, white sugar, white rice, fake foods, you know, chemical foods, and all that. Those things are not giving you any minerals. And they may give you toxic metals. Okay. Another food group that is very important for detoxification is adequate protein. Adequate protein in the diet. Preferably protein with every meal. And especially animal protein. And the reason for this is it contains sulfur-containing amino acids. The sulfur-containing amino acids. Sulfur-containing amino acids are very essential for detoxification. They bind toxic metals. They help remove them. They're chelators. All of your synthetic drugs that are chelating agents, they're all sulfur compounds. They're all sulfur compounds. Many of the superfoods that are used for detoxification of metals, like garlic and cilantro, these are sulfur-containing vegetables. So protein is very important. It provides precursors, amino acids, for not only the transport proteins like ceruloplasmin, metallothionein, glutathione, but also they bind to toxic metals and they do other things. Okay. Now, another food group is sulfur foods, high sulfur foods, because sulfur is very good. And these include egg yolks and vegetables in the cabbage family, which is cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts. The radish family is high in sulfur, and the garlic and onion sort of family of vegetables. Sulfur is very good for detoxification in general, in particular for mercury and copper. So sulfur-containing foods are excellent. Fiber, very important for detoxification because some of the toxic metals are reabsorbed from the intestines. And the other thing is you don't want to have constipation and sluggish bowels because especially when you're doing detoxification, you want the stuff to get out of you. You don't want it to hang around in there.
the waste matter. So fiber can reduce bowel transit time, limit absorption of toxic metals, and some, such as modified citrus pectin, actually binds toxic metals. Fatty acids are important, and there is evidence that things like fish oil, EPA, DHA, can help with detoxification. And finally, enough water intake is very important too, because the kidneys are one of the organs where the metals are being filtered through. And if there is not sufficient water and sufficient hydration, quality water, and reverse osmosis water is rather damaged, by the way. Distilled water is used to help remove toxic metals, but we don't want to drink it all the time, but it will help remove toxic metals. But you must drink adequate water. Otherwise, the detoxification process is hindered. So drinking water is another important factor in the diet. Drinking soda pop and coffee, that doesn't do it. Herbal teas are better, as long as you realize that some herbal teas, like peppermint and mints, are very high in aluminum. Okay. Along with the diet, you want to avoid extreme or deficient diets. Many people are on deficient diets, not necessarily junk food diets, but deficient diets, we would include things like vegetarian diets. And they are deficient in zinc and also in many other essential minerals often. Raw food diets, while they are higher in some vitamins and other nutrients, are usually much lower in vital minerals for the reasons we just gave, that cooking doesn't affect the mineral content of the food, and it makes the minerals more bioavailable by breaking down fiber, and it concentrates the food, so one ends up ingesting many more vital minerals. Other deficient sort of eating habits are things like skipping meals, eating on the run, eating the same food every day with no variety, living on protein drinks, because these protein powders, you know, eating egg protein or milk protein, that's not the same as drinking good goat milk or eating eggs. The actual food has a lot more minerals. The protein powders are refined and do not have the minerals in them and other things. So these are deficient things. And of course, we mentioned that. Then there are people who live on food supplements. They live on some sort of drink all day. They don't eat food. These are usually deficient in minerals. They're not going to get the same thing as real food. Okay. Now, in addition to diet, the eating habits and lifestyle is very important. You need to eat regular meals, sit-down meals, eat quietly, eat slowly, chew thoroughly. These things greatly enhance the absorption and utilization of minerals. Most everyone needs to take digestive enzymes to improve your digestion. Otherwise, even if you eat the best food, you will not absorb enough of the minerals and the protein and the vitamins in the food. So digestive enzymes are a very good idea. A relaxed and a positive outlook greatly facilitates digestion. So people's emotional state, especially during meals, but all the time, but especially at mealtime, because the sympathetic nervous system turns off digestion. The fight or flight nervous system, the sympathetic, turns off your digestion. So if you're upset, anxious, rushing around when you're eating, you will not absorb your food, and the best food will go to waste. Also, sleeping a lot, 9 or 10 hours a night, is most helpful to get rid of toxic metals. Sleeping a lot is important. A lot of the detox occurs at night. Most people do not sleep nearly enough. 6 or 7 hours, that is not enough for healing and detoxification. Healing and detoxification are parasympathetic activities that occur mainly during the hours of sleep and rest. Okay. So those are some important ways to get started. Now, another way of handling toxic metals is to take nutritional supplements.
Supplements can reduce the absorption of toxic metals and facilitate their removal. One of the simplest is kelp. Kelp contains a wide range of vital minerals. It also contains some toxic metals, as do all products from the sea. However, they are tightly bound. Alginates found in the kelp also help bind and remove radioactive minerals, a hidden and important health concern related to toxic metals. One can use supplements, mineral supplements, as antagonists to help eliminate toxic metals. These are minerals that specifically compete with the toxic metals for absorption, transport, and utilization in enzymes and other tissue structures. For example, zinc and calcium are cadmium antagonists. Selenium and zinc are mercury antagonists. Zinc and molybdenum and sulfur are copper antagonists. As an aside, I worked for the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, and we visited factories at the time that were violating the law. One of them was a factory where they processed lead, and they fed milk to the workers to help them avoid lead poisoning. While this was a bit crude, the principle was sound in that if you eat more calcium, take more calcium, you will help reduce lead ingestion and use. Now, the specific minerals that people need to add are things like zinc, chromium, selenium, and manganese. Most of your multivitamins do not contain enough of these. So the use of supplements is very good. There are some supplements that are considered extremely good for toxic metals. One of these is chlorella. Another one is garlic. Another one is cilantro. These have been shown in studies to contain a number of substances, whether they're amino acids and other things, which work very well with to remove toxic metals. And there are, you know, there are specific, a lot of technical specifics. Cilantro, for example, is apparently effective in mobilizing mercury stored in intracellular spaces and in the nucleus of the cell. It is effective also for cadmium, lead, aluminum in the bones and the nervous system. So it's a very effective thing, and you can eat cilantro as a vegetable, even if you cook it, or you can get cilantro tincture. So cilantro is very nice. It can also be used as tea, and you can even rub it into joints. Chlorella, which is a algae, is also been shown to be effective in binding toxic metals, including all the toxic metals, and toxic chemicals as well. Chlorella also seems to repair and activate some of the body's detoxification mechanisms, including increasing reduced glutathione. And it is, they say, some people say it's quite effective in binding toxic metals of all types. And it helps to restore ceruloplasmin, metallothionein, and it contains B12, which is helpful for many people and important as a source of cobalt. Chlorella is quite good as another food. The only problem with chlorella and cilantro, but particularly chlorella, is it's very yin in Chinese medicine terms. In other words, in Chinese medicine, foods are yin or yang, and yin is expanded and cool, and the algae and specifically powdered products are very yin. And this is not helpful because another factor, another method of eliminating toxic metals is actually to make the body balance this way. And most of the bodies are very yin today, and therefore they need yang methods and yang foods. Yang foods are cooked foods, meats, eggs, and warm foods. And chlorella and cilantro and N-acetylcysteine, these things are not like that. And so they are not helpful for that reason, and they only go so far. Once the body
begins to get more young, these products would be harmful. They would not be as helpful, let's put it that way, as they would in the beginning. Now, then there are other products like the NDF, nano detoxification factors. Another product is called Metal Free and PCA. These things are made from chlorella and cilantro and other things. The problem is they're very, very expensive, and I don't feel that they're worth it. And then certainly nutrients like vitamin C is a chelating agent. Garlic has a lot of sulfur-containing amino acids, and garlic extracts can be used, and so forth. So these are what we might call general supplements. General supplements. Later we will discuss specific balancing of body chemistry. As a matter of fact, we'll do it right now. That another very important way to remove toxic metals, probably the most important that I use, or a very important one, is to improve your energy production. Improve the body's energy, and the toxic metals will come out. The body has a certain ability to remove toxic metals, but when the energy is low, they simply don't come out. And the way that I use and that I recommend is balancing body chemistry using hair mineral analysis and what is called nutritional balancing science.